Monday night of September, Hey Tishri, Rabbi Mendel Gordon. Is davening selfish or selfless?
Thank you. And good morning to everyone in the Gemara Chasidah Tova. I apologize for using the microphone, but it's on doctor's orders that I should try not to strain my voice. So hope you'll put up with me. We're just coming from Rosh Hashanah, and in the Haftarah of the second day of Rosh Hashanah, excuse me, of the first day of Rosh Hashanah, we read that the Haftarah Tfilas Chana, and the Pashtus Chazal tell us the reason that we read this Haftarah on Rosh Hashanah is because Chana Nifkilde b'Rosh Hashanah. Chana's Tfilas were answered on Rosh Hashanah. According to the Shalah, the Tfilah itself took place on Rosh Hashanah. But not all the Farshim agree with that. But for sure, she was Nifka on Rosh Hashanah. Her tefillahs were answered on Rosh Hashanah, and that's why we read the tefillah of Chana Rosh Hashanah. It's also ma'eder us to know the power of our tefillahs. Chazal say that we learn the bulk of Hilchas tefillah from tefillahs Chana. So obviously, tefillahs Chana is an example of a very correct and appropriate tefillah. Nevertheless, we find in the story of Chana, as it's quoted in Sefer Shmuel, as we read it in Haftarah, we find a strange episode, which L'chaira needs a little bit of clarification. It says, Vayachshaveha Eli l'shikaira. Eli HaKayin. Eli HaKayin was the Shofet, was the Nasi Yisrael, observed Chana davening, and he thought she was shikaira, he thought she was drunk. To the extent that he approached her, and he said, "Ad masai tishtakarin, till when will you continue to be intoxicated? Hasirius yenich me'alayach, get rid of your wine." It's very strange that Eli HaKayim should have mistaken a woman who was at the highest madrega of tefillah, the tefillah from which we derive all Hilchas tefillah for all generations, and he mistook her to be drunk. From one extreme to the other. Perhaps he didn't appreciate the depth of her madrega and tefillah, but to such an extent that he should think that this woman who's in such a deep state of tefillah is drunk. Even if for some reason we can find an explanation why Eli had a good reason to make this mistake, it still doesn't explain why should the Torah have recorded it. The Torah doesn't speak negatively, unnecessarily, even about a behemoth meyer. As we all know in Parshas Noach, the Torah goes out of its way to say asher lo tahara rather than to say something derogatory. And here about a tzaddik v'nasi b'Yisrael Eli HaKayin, the Torah is going to record that he made such a mistake from one extreme to the other. So it seems to give the impression that there's something deeper over here. That when Eli mistook her to be Shikaira, that Shikaira could have also expressed itself in a certain madrega in davening, which Eli describes as Shikaira. And we'll come back to that. Let's go over to Rosh Hashanah and Yom Kippur, the time of year that we're up to right now. There's a pasuk that says, we say this in Rosh Hashanah, Ki chayk li Yisrael hu mishpat lelekei Yaakov. It's brought in Sfarim. That this pasuk, Yichayk li Yisrael hu mishpat lelekei Yaakov, sums up the dinu mishpat of Rosh Hashanah and Yom Kippur. The word chayk can also mean a portion. Hatrifeni lechem chuki. Yichayk lakayanim yehavim. So, Yichayk li Yisrael hu, on Rosh Hashanah and Yom Kippur, the Eberstein apportions for every yid, the gezun, the parnasa, the gashmis, the kitzrachim that the person is going to need throughout the year, going to receive throughout the year, it's all a portion of Rosh Hashanah and Yom Kippur. Mishpat lelekei Yaakov, there's also a mishpat, how much elikus, how much getlichkeit, how much godliness, how much exposure to godliness, each person will be zeichet to throughout the year. Even though, hakel bidei shamayim chutz miyir shamayim, it's all in our hands to choose to serve Hashem or chas v'shalom not, but we can only make the choice to do what we have to do. But whether our work will be matzliach is totally in siyata d'shmaya. We can decide to attend the shir or learn the blat gemara, but whether we'll actually understand it, whether it's going to be meaningful to us or not, is dependent on siyata d'shmaya. We can decide to put kavana into our davening to try and make the effort. But whether our davening is actually going to give us that feeling of closeness to Hashem, and we're going to feel connected, we're going to feel inspired, we're going to feel warmed, we're going to feel the b'chalavavcha, that's dependent a lot on siyata d'shmaya. So just like in Rosh Hashanah, there's a dinu mishpat on the gashmias of every yid. There's also a dinu mishpat l'lekei yakev on the ruchnias of every yid. And therefore we come to shul on Rosh Hashanah and Yom Kippur, and we dive into the Eibishter, both for our gashmistika needs, Kasveinu b'sefer chayim tevim, Kasveinu b'sefer parnasa b'chalkala, and we also daven for our ruchnistika needs. We daven that we should be zeicha to be davuk in HaKadosh Baruch Hu and fulfill his, learn his Torah, fulfill his mitzvahs, and be a yid like a yid has to be. However, there's a question. The main theme of Rosh Hashanah, we know, is Tamlichuni Aleichem. Kadosh Baruch Hu says to Yidden, Imru lefanei Malchiyos, Kedesha Tamlichuni Aleichem. Say before me the psukim of Malchiyos in order that you should crown me king over you. Ubameh b'sheifer. What is it that crowns a Kadosh Baruch Hu as a king? Ki ha-sheifer, mitzvahs hayoyim b'sheifer. So the main theme of Rosh Hashanah is Elokeinu v'Elokei Aviseinu Meloich al Ha'olam Kulei B'Chvedecha. We're Mamlech HaKadosh Baruch Hu as Melech Yisrael B'Goy Eloi and as Melech al Kol Ha'aretz. When we come to be Mamlech the Melech, the most important ingredient to being Mamlech the Melech is the bittul, the self-nullification of the Am, of the nation. We all come before the King. We completely nullify ourselves. We completely surrender our own individual existence and give ourselves over completely to the King. Only the King matters. We don't matter. And that is the process of Hamlachas Hamelach. That is the process of crowning a king, of coronation. The nation prostrates themselves before the King, nullifies themselves, makes themselves nothing, and the King is everything. That is the relationship that exists between the nation and the King in the process of coronation. So we come at Rosh Hashanah to Shul, the crown HaKadosh Baruch Hu as Melech al Kol Ha'aretz. And then we take out our shopping list and say, by the way, Avinu Malkeinu, Kasveinu B'Sefer Chaim Tevim, Avinu Malkeinu, Kasveinu B'Sefer Parnasa V'Chalkola, Kasveinu B'Sefer Gula B'Yeshua, Kasveinu B'Sefer Zachias. What's going on? Did we come to crown HaKadosh Baruch Hu as the King? To nullify ourselves completely and say, we don't matter, only HaKadosh Baruch Hu matters? Or did we come with a shopping list? I'm here for myself. I'm here, as we said, as the question was asked before, is davening selfish or selfless? Because they seem to be, at first glance, contradictory to each other. Absolute bittul is complete self-negation. I don't exist. And then suddenly to come along and say, but one second, there's me here, I'm also here. And I also have needs. The act of hamlacha is an act of total self-nullification. In fact, let me clarify. This question, it would seem at first glance, could be asked not only on Rosh Hashanah and Yom Kippur. It could be asked every day. We stand Shemon Esrei ka'emed lefnei hamelech. The halacha is, afilu nachash karach al akeber lo yafsik, even a snake, if it's not a poisonous snake, is wrapped around your heel. You're not allowed to be vafsik because you're Eimed Lifnei HaMelech, you're standing in front of the king. When you're standing in front of the king, nothing matters, only the king. If somebody makes a little motion in front of in the king's presence, it's a major problem. Nevertheless, we stand by Shemoneh Esrei in front of the king. And then we take out our shopping list. Chareinu Meitcha Chachma Bina Badas, Rufa'einu, Barechaleinu, Vishtimtas, how does it fit? But there's a slightly different situation over there. The reason it's a different situation is because here we're talking on a regular day, we're talking about the melech as the king is functioning as the leader of the country and the one who has to deal with all the issues and all the needs of his nation. So we come to the king, we stand with the greatest respect and with the greatest self-nullification, but in his role as king, as the provider for the needs of the nation, we also have to deal with that which the nation needs. But when it comes to Rosh Hashanah, when we're creating that relationship, we're crowning Hashem as king, we're being machted him, tam lichuni aleichem. The act of crowning a king necessitates absolute self-negation, absolute self-nullification. The Zohar says that those people, the Tikkun Ezeya, Tikkun Vav, that those people that come to shul on Yom Kippur and ask for a mezeina, slicha v'chapare v'chaye, are like, they ask for sustenance, forgiveness, and life, are like dogs that are barking, give me, give me. Because it's antithetical to the concept of Rosh Hashanah and Yom Kippur. Rosh Hashanah and Yom Kippur is about being mamlich HaKadosh Baruch Hu as melech. It's not about what's in it for me. Nevertheless, we see that Chazal instituted in the Tfilas that we should daven for our needs. Chazal wrote in the Siddur, Kasveinu b'sefer parnasa b'chalkol. So obviously we're meant to daven for these things. And we're obviously meant to do so not just with Kabbalah soil, because it says so in the Siddur and we have to, but Tfilah has to be from the heart. So obviously a Yid when he's in Rosh Hashanah and Shul should actually be offering a heartfelt Tfilah, Kasveinu b'sefer chayim tevim, Kasveinu b'sefer parnasa b'chalkol. So we should be asking from the bottom of our heart that Hashem should provide for us. So the question comes back to, how does that coincide? How does that go together with the idea of absolute self-notification before HaKadosh Baruch Hu, which is necessary and appropriate at a time when we're being mamlich HaKadosh Baruch Hu as a melech, accepting his malchus upon us, avinu malkeinu, ein lanu melech, ela ata. If you are the only one that counts in our life, then why suddenly are we concerned with ourselves? So one of the answers that's given to this question is, when a Yid comes to Shul on Rosh Hashanah to daven, there's only the Eibushter. That's the only agenda. However, in order for us to be mamlech HaKadosh Baruch Hu as a melech, we need to be mamlech HaKadosh Baruch Hu as a melech over the entire world. And the way that we're mamlech HaKadosh Baruch Hu the melech over the entire world is that every Yid is given a chelek in Olam Hazeh, a portion of this world, that he has to use in Avodas Hashem, that he has to elevate to HaKadosh Baruch Hu through using it for the service of Hashem. When you take a davar gashmi, when you take a physical object, and you're mekayim a mitzvah with it, you are elevating it in, incorporating it into the ma'afas of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. When you take money and you give it to tzedakah, you're taking that money and you're incorporating it into the ma'afas of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. When you eat food, l'shem shamayim, in order that it should give you peach to learn Torah and do mitzvahs, so you're taking that, those chafetz and gashmim, and you're elevating them, incorporating them into the malchus of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And this inyan that HaKadosh Baruch Hu wishes to be, that we should be mamlechim on the entire world, including the gashmim, the world, this is an essential part of the whole concept of being mamlech HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Chazal say, the Medrash says in Medrash Tanchum in Nasoi, Nis'aveh HaKadosh Baruch Hu liyis loy dira b'tachtonim. HaKadosh Baruch Hu has a desire to have a dwelling place in this lowest realm. He wants this physical world, this lowest realm, to be transformed into a place in which his kingship will be absolutely manifest and absolutely revealed. In order to do so, we need the wherewithal. We need to be healthy in order to serve Hashem. We need parnasa v'chalkala in order to take the dvarim gashmim that HaKadosh Baruch Hu will bless us with and elevate them to make them a part of HaKadosh Baruch Hu's dwelling place. So in the process of being mamlech HaKadosh Baruch Hu as a melech, with no ulterior in interest at all, we come along and we say, Avinu Malkeinu Kasveinu B'Sefer Parnasa B'Chalkala, so that we can take this Parnasa B'Chalkala and use it to fulfill your will of being mamlech you as melech HaKol Ha'aretz. We can only do this if you will provide us with the wherewithal. Now the question is, this sounds beautiful on a theoretical level, in some kind of a higher realm. But in the real world, physical people come to shul, and we ask Hashem to give us health. We ask Hashem to give us success. We ask Hashem to give us sustenance. Is it realistic to say that we're expecting of every person that his motive, when he's davening for health and when he's davening for wealth, should be purely a motive of self-nullification to Hashem? Obviously, when we daven for health, we're only human. We're asking because we want to be healthy. And when we daven for wealth, we're asking because we want to be looked after. So if Chazal would have told us, one day a year, Rosh Hashanah, Yom Kippur, forget about yourself. We'll delete from the tefillahs all tefillahs that have to do with our needs. And we'll just focus on Hashem. So, Rosh Hashanah, Yom Kippur is very holy days. They perhaps would have been able to get that from us. But they're asking us for two opposites. They put into the siddur tefillahs that are full with our own needs, and we're expected to be able to, while we're davening for parnasa b'chalkala, rise above it completely and be completely selfless and only do it for the sake of Hashem. It's difficult to say that that's expected of every ordinary person. So there is a very interesting Torah from the Baal Shem Tov on the pasuk in Tilim. Some people say every Friday afternoon. Hoydu, Re'evim gam tzmeim nafsham bohem tisataf. Re'evim gam tzmeim, they're hungry, they're thirsty, nafsham bohem tisataf, their soul is wrapped up in them. Says the Baal Shem Tov a fascinating thing. He says, Re'evim gam tzmeim, when a person is hungry or thirsty, a person sees an item of food or a drink, and he has a hunger and a thirst for it. So you would think that it's a purely metaphysical thing. It's a biological thing. A person hasn't eaten for a long time, so his stomach is hungry for food. Says the Baal Shem Tov, no. Nafsham bahem tis'atav. The reason the person is hungry and thirsty, consciously it's because he's hungry and he's thirsty. But subconsciously, there's a reason, deeper reason, behind the scenes that's coming from the neshama. And that is nafsham bahem tis'atav. The neshama is thirsting for the nitzutz kedusha, for the spark of kedusha that is contained within that food and drink. As we know on the pasuk le'alechem lo'yal alechem levado yichya ha'adam ki al kol ma'isah pi'ashav yichya ha'adam. So the Arizal says lo'yal alechem levado yichya ha'adam, not on bread alone does man live ki al kol ma'isah pi'ashav yichya ha'adam, but rather on everything that comes out of the mouth of Hashem does man live. So he said there's a spark of godliness in the bread. And when you eat the bread, you also consume the spark of godliness, and that gives you chayas, that gives you life. So nafsham bahem tisataf, the neshama is thirsting and hungering for the spark of godliness that is contained within the food, and that's why consciously you think you're hungry because your body wants it, but deep down there's a deeper cause, and that is your neshama is hungering for the food and for the drink. The same thing is true when a yid comes to shul on Rosh Hashanah and Yom Kippur. Consciously, each one of us is on a different madrega. Perhaps there are great tzaddikim that completely set themselves aside, and when they come to shul on Rosh Hashanah Yom Kippur, they're thinking only about HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and every other tefillah that they request is only part and parcel of Malaycha La'olam Kulei B'Chvedecha. But even the rest of us, even the ordinary ones amongst us, that when we say Kasveinu B'Sefer Parnasa B'Chalkala, we talk and mean ourselves. When we say Kasveinu B'Sefer Chayim Tovim, we mean ourselves, and we mean it for selfish reasons. But that's only on the surface. That's only on the conscious level. Beneath the surface, subconsciously, nafsham bahem tisatav. There's a neshama wrapped up beneath that tefillah that wants that chayim tovim and wants that parnasa b'chalkala in order to be able to use it to serve Hashem, to be mamlech HaKadosh Baruch Hu as the melech al kol ha'aretz and the melech al kol ha'olam kula. With this in mind, we could perhaps get a better understanding of the dialogue between Eli and Chana. Chana is standing in the Beis Hashem. She's standing before the Kodesh HaKadoshim. And she's davening. And she's davening, Hir b'sol hispalo. She's going on and on and on in her tefillah. And Eli looks at her. And he says, Ad masai tishtakari. Excuse me. You're intoxicated in your tefillah. You're forgetting where you're standing. You're standing in Beis Hashem, lifnei Kodesh HaKadoshim. In a place like this, you should be thinking only about HaKadosh Baruch Hu. You shouldn't be thinking about anything else. How can you get carried away with your own personal desires when you're standing in such a holy place, at such a holy opportunity? So Chana responded. And she said, For Eshbeich es nafshi lifnei Hashem. I'm not intoxicated in my tefillah. I'm not getting carried away with my own needs. This is my neshama calling out to Hashem. As a Yiddish woman, my neshama knows that my mission in this world is to bring to this world a Yiddish kind who can be raised to be devoted to Hashem and to be an Eved Hashem. I'm davening not for myself, I'm davening for a child that I will be able to give over to Hashem, that he should be truly dedicated to Hashem. And Eli hears her out, and he is convinced that she has a very powerful point. And he says, Yitein Hashemesh Sheilasech Asher Sha'alt Me'imoy, you are right. The Eibershter should grant your tefillas, and she lived up to her promise. She did exactly what she promised she would do. As soon as the Eibershter answered her tefillas, as soon as the child was born, she dedicated herself completely, beleva nefesh, to raising this child with all her heart and soul, all her keches, that he should be truly the Eved Hashem that she was intending for him to be. To the extent that the 2 years that she devoted herself to him, it was exclusive, nothing else. Even when Elkanah wanted her to come to the Mishkan, she refused his invitation. She said that her shlichus now is to be totally dedicated and devoted to raising this child. And then, as soon as he was old enough to be separated from his mother, she brought him to the Mishkan, she brought him to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. This is what the child was for. El Hanan Hazeh Hispalalti. This is the child that I davened for, a child that I could bring to the Mishkan and dedicate to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Nesativ Lashem Kol Yemei Chayav. And this is what we read in the Haftarah on Rosh Hashanah, because when we come to Shul on Rosh Hashanah and we start davening, Avinu Malkeinu Kasveinu B'Sefer Parnasa B'Chalkala on Yom Kippur, so there's a little Eli HaKoyen voice in us that says, what are you doing? It's Yom Kippur today, it's Rosh Hashanah today, it's a holy day. How can you mix in your personal needs and your quote-unquote selfish needs in the holiness of this special moment? And the answer is right there in the Haftarah of Eshbeches Nafshi Lifnei Hashem, that whether we're conscious of it or not, at least on a deeper level, what's motivating us to make these requests is because these are the needs of our neshama in its absolute dedication to be Mamlech HaKadosh Baruch Hu as the Melech Yisrael V'Goy Aloi and as the Melech HaKol HaAretz. And what the Haftarah is trying to teach us is that we shouldn't suffice only with the fact that we know that this is the subconscious truth, but we should actually work on ourselves, that we should bring this reality also into our consciousness, that we should try to pile on ourselves, to work on ourselves, that we should have that level of dedication to the absoluteness of Hashem's existence, and that we would completely nullify ourselves and completely surrender our own interests, that even the physical things, and how much more so the spiritual things that we're asking for in Rosh Hashanah and Yom Kippur, we should mean what is in it for Hashem, as it says from the Mezudas Magid writes on the Mishnah, so the simple pshat is that when you daven, you have to be in a state of seriousness. Kevod Reish. The Mezudas Magid says that Kevod Reish, we shouldn't be davening for our own needs, we should be davening for the Kevod Reish, for the difficulties that there are in the Rosh Hashanah, in the head of Klal Yisrael, which is HaKadosh Baruch Hu, in the Shekhinah, the Tzar HaShekhinah should bother us. So of course that's a very high madrega. So deep inside, we all have that, because nafshom mehem tisatav. And our Aveda, Rosh Hashanah, and Yom Kippur, and especially Aseres Yimei Tshuva, when we have an opportunity to work on it, is to try and upgrade our conscious state, so that our tefillas on Yom Kippur, we should be aware of this absolute bittul HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and the Iker HaIkrim is that HaKadosh Baruch Hu should hear our tefillas, and surely on Rosh Hashanah, the Eberster was already Kesev, Echesev, every single one of us amongst Klal Yisrael, Besifran, Shal Tzadikim, Gemurim, Veraksiva, Vachsiva, Teva, Lashana, Teva, Mesurka, but he gave us Aseres Yimei Tshuva so we can apply for an upgrade, and another upgrade, and another upgrade, as we have Aseres Yimei Tshuva, so that should only go better and better and brighter until Yom Kippur will all be Zeche to the Gemar Chasima Teva, Shana Teva, the Sukkah, Shnas Chaim, Shnas Geula, the Yeshua, as a year of Geula Shleimah through Mashiach Tzidkenu, Bimheira, Yameinu, Amen.